Good evening. The time is 5:01. The Warwick City Council Finance Committee is in session. To begin, I apologize. I'm shuffling from page to page, getting back into it. There we go. If I may have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the January 3rd meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Pardon me again. I'm just going to shuffle back to the next one. I'm happy I'm able to go paperless, but I'm still learning how to go paperless. Okay. Now, seeing that all the items in the Finance Committee are below the $50,000 threshold, I would request if any member of the committee first, and then I will go to the members of the council, and then I will go to members of the public, if there is any bid item that is in the bid package they would like to discuss, please identify it. So I'll begin with the committee. Is there any item on the committee that members would like to discuss?
No, for Ward 1.
Thank you.
Nothing for me.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any members of the council that would like an item from the bid package for discussion? Is there any item for discussion from the council? Thank you. Is there an item on the bid package from members of the public? Is there an item from the bid package that members of the public would like to discuss? Seeing there are none discussed, may I have a motion for acceptance of PCR 14-22?
So moved.
I'll second.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you all. We'll now move on to the regular Finance Committee meeting. The agenda. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes on January 3rd?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion, I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item number two is PCR 157-21, a resolution authorizing the adoption of the trust OPEB funding formula. Council President, or I apologize. Council President, did you wanna make an opening remark on this? Or would you like to defer to the department?
Sure, yes, I would. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I believe the finance director is here, Mr. Schaefer, to present.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Mr. Schaefer.
Excuse me.
Mr. Schaefer, you're muted right now. You're muted. If you could unmute, there we go.
All right, thank you. We had this on the docket in December, and I had failed to get some information from the Round into Local Trust out to you, so we continued it to this meeting. And as you know, in the last this last budget cycle, we put a little money into the budget to really start addressing this problem. We have a firefighter's contract that has a provision in it that we're still working on to make some contributions. And we need to start this. And Phil, you have the document, I think, from the OPEB, from the Round into Local Trust. You have the resolution in front of you. This vehicle has been used by 26 communities and school districts around the state as a method for funding this. I talked back in December briefly about other options, and there is another option, which is we have an investment advisor who manages, gives advice to the retirement board, the treasurer, and the finance director on investing over $600 million in city funds he's looked at what we're wanting to do here. And it's conceivable that we might get there eventually, but my recommendation is that we adopt the trust plan for the time being. I've talked to them. There's an opportunity a year, 2 years, 3 years from now to transfer this trust to something that would be administered on our own. The fees on this, for example, are under part of the reason that you see this just as the resolution and not part of the bid package. The fees would certainly be well under $1,000 the first year, probably less than $2,500 the second year. It depends upon how much money we put in. If we get to a point where we have $5 or $10 million in the trust, then certainly we should think about doing this on our own with our own investment advisor. But right now, I've heard so many good things from the other cities and towns that are participating in this. This is my recommendation to you. And you see some of the language in the resolution about this is a way to put money together. It doesn't not guarantee or guarantee employees the rights that they already have. And there's three components to the fee structure, which, as I said, generates a small sum of small fees for them, but significant fees for them if you get to be a large entity. They're really upfronting the cost to us. That's what I would say. And we would make some other decision maybe down the road. And I'm ready to answer any questions. The one thing, the date is still on there from December 21st. I think we'd have to amend the date to, if you're ready to proceed today, to January 19th, 2022. At that point, by the way, you know, we appropriated $250,000 in the budget last year. We would shortly thereafter transfer that amount of money to this OPEB trust, and it would be a vehicle for, and I'm going to be talking about this in the full council meeting, some other things that we're considering about long-term, which will be part of the budget this coming year on funding OPEB.
Thank you, Mr. Director. I would like to open it up to members of my committee and see if they have any questions or concerns on the presentation. Councilman Gebhardt, did I see your hand up? I apologize.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Chairman. And thanks, Director. Not so much a concern, but the one question that I had, you touched on, but I'm wondering if you could give us a little bit more detail, was just, you mentioned having spoken with some of the other communities who have made use of this program.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if you could give us any more of their of the kind of color of their references in terms to their participation.
Well, I've certainly talked with Joe Balducci, Cranston Public Schools. I've talked
sorry,
to the school
sorry
business
to put you man- on the spot.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I've talked to the school business manager in East Providence, whose name all of a sudden escapes me. I know his face, but I'm older than you guys. I know that the former town manager of East Greenwich and the finance director in East Greenwich, Trish Sunderland, are comfortable with the program. I've dealt with the Barrington finance director, Kathy Raposa, who's very enthusiastic about it. Some of you may remember Diane Brennan, who used to be in Warwick years ago, assisting the council and the city, and then became finance director in Gloucester. She retired recently, but she's been enthusiastic about it. The turnkey, we can just start this and do this. There's no legal drafting. This resolution has been tested by 26 different entities. One other, of course, is Brian Sylvia, the former finance director here, who's utilizing this in Smithfield. So I'm comfortable. They've done a pretty good sales job with us. I've told them, you know, we are a little bit different than a lot of those places because we have an investment manager, successful investment manager for our pension funds. And so that it could be that 2 or 3 years ago, if we really get somewhere with this, then we would consider, you know, there are basically 4 pension trusts set up, the fire and police 1, municipal, fire 2, police 2. We could set up another trust that would be an OPEB trust. One of the things, and I think Councilman Howe's aware of this, we've been talking at the retirement board about possibly switching custodians. We've had some problems with a custodian who keeps track of all our pension funds. They make errors. And so we're working on an RFP. And I would prefer not, frankly, if we're switching custodians, I wouldn't want to go with someone for 4 months and then make a change. So I've had a lot of enthusiasm. I'm happy dealing with the PARS group, their representatives who will be doing the real administration. It's Colleen at the trust, who's kind of the key person here, who's been very helpful on it. So that's where I am. But they're aware that we feel we have other options. We might want to make a change later on, and they're okay with that.
Got it. Thank you for that. I mean, certainly they've got a track record here for this program with a number of municipalities and large organizations like Cranston School Department, who, you know, if they're having good success in managing, you know, what I'm sure is a complicated program, then we'll have similar success. Is this one large fund that's managed all together, or is there
everyone's listed as a separate entity? And if you look at the package, their investment manager is Vanguard, which is a low-cost mutual fund group, and we're gonna have the option of 4 different let's see, are you still hearing me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Something okay. Happened on the...
Yeah, we can hear you. It just, yeah.
And so we're going to have, I believe the treasurer is assigned as the fiduciary on this. She'll be making the judgment as to, with the very little money we're going to put in at the beginning, you know, whether to do a very conservative or a little more aggressive portfolio, probably be a pretty conservative portfolio for the small amount of money we have.
All right.
So they also give us the option to have sub funds. If we want to separate out police, fire, municipal workers, they give us that option. I think that's something we have to look very carefully at. This is one big liability for the city. And I know the fire contract went down the path of associating contributions with an individual group of employees. We'll see. That's something that will come up down the road, I believe. I mean, the appropriation we made for the city was for all city employees as a beginning, as a starter for the overall OPEB liability facing the city.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Director. That's that was very helpful. I appreciate your answers there.
Thank you, Councilman. Is there any other comments from members of the committee? Questions? Okay, Councilman Ricks, I saw your hand up. Welcome.
Thank you. So first question for the finance director is, I want to make sure that I'm understanding this correctly. When you said that the OPEB contribution made by the city is for all employees, so I take it that that's referring to the $250,000 that was allocated in.
Yes.
Thank you. And when you say all employees, I'm not sure if that means all employees on the city side, active and retired.
It means it was contributed to the liability of all retired employees who are enjoying the benefit of healthcare, as opposed to, for example, just retired firefighters or just retired police officers or just retired municipal employees.
Okay.
And the liability that is reported in our financial statements is for all city employees, excluding school employees. That's okay.
That makes sense. I just wanted to make sure that I was on the same page there. Yeah. I also wanted to just check in, mostly as a matter for the record. I'm sure that this has come up. I'm, for reference, looking at page 47 of the contract with our firefighters union. Let's see, the latest contract. And so some of those bullet points, one of them in particular is relevant here, that it reads, a separate accounting with respect to each employee's contribution to the OPEB trust shall be maintained by the OPEB trust administrator. And I want to confirm here, now that we're at the formal meeting, that that's going to be part of what this vendor would be doing for us?
The answer is no. And I don't, that's probably not the answer you wanted to hear, but you know, we have met with the union. We were told when we started, as we recruited that firefighter class, and we started working with the trust and others on this, that the language of the contract precluded creating a trust. An OPEB trust in compliance with the internal section, I think it's section 115 of the Internal Revenue Service Code, because contributions to an OPEB trust have to be irrevocable. Now, we had some good conversations with the union, and the contract would have to be changed to execute that. Now, the fact of the matter is the contract expires on June 30th. There are many options going forward to address this issue, but you can't create an OPEB trust that that is not irrevocable. And that's the way some of the language in that contract, and it wouldn't, it's not a complicated, I don't think it's an overly complicated change to make. We could have done it. There's some hesitation about opening the contract. I think the union is all right with us addressing this in the contract for the contract that begins this coming July 1st.
Thank you for clarifying that. Obviously, I don't want to stray too far into those kinds of conversations because that just wouldn't be appropriate at this stage. But I am glad to hear that that conversation is happening with the union, and I'd want to make sure to take this opportunity to just say for the record that I think it is very important for the spirit of the contract to be honored in a way that protects those employees, since this was all part of the benefit of the bargain, as I think, as was understood by all of the parties at the time. And, you know, what I am hearing is that, you know, this legal issue that came up was not foreseen by anybody at the time that the contract was entered into.
I would say that's correct from what I know. And I've looked at the record of the contract, and I was a little concerned that the current actuary who did the study testified in favor and didn't disclose that issue. And I've talked to them, and I'm going to have a proposal at the next meeting to switch actuaries, partly for that, a little bit for that reason, mainly for other reasons. And that I'd like to look at our pension and OPEB liabilities together. And that means using the actuary the city's used for a quarter of a century to help us fund our pension plans. And those numbers are looking pretty good now. And I think it's going to help us address OPEB. And I need, but you're going to see that at the next meeting.
If we could just do, you know, stick a little more closely to the parameters of the creation of this OPEB trust, the item before us, please.
Thank you. I'll be sure to wrap up questions along that line. So with the creation of this OPEB trust, and I am glad that it's going to be going forward upon its creation, all done in a legal manner. And I'm glad that going forward, we're going to have an actuary or other professionals who will hopefully be giving us better advice as opposed to telling us that we can do things when we can't. That's a huge problem. And, you know, obviously those mistakes should not be made at this kind of level. And so I'm glad that that's also being addressed.
I don't think, I want to defend them a little bit. I just think they were silent on this issue. That was the issue.
Well, you know, I do have some more questions. This may not be the best forum for it. Questions along the lines of if something could be done in terms of pre-tax versus post-tax to make this work so that the spirit is honored, but that this may not be the best forum for that. So I'll simply say that I do think that the creation of this OPEB trust is the best path forward at this time. I agree with your assessment as the finance director on this, and I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattisor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm not going to continue the conversation that Councilman Ricks just generated regarding the OPEB trust that has been set up with the fire department. But from what I'm hearing, it seems as though we may have voted on a contract again that contained some language that doesn't appear now to have been legal. So this may not be the forum to discuss this tonight, but I am going to certainly ask the city council to create a forum for it to be discussed, because I think this is, I think it's a pretty significant issue. So I'm not going to go any further with this during this meeting, but that's what I'm going to be reaching out to my colleagues on the council to, you know what, let's get it on an item to be discussed on the council floor. So to go back to the original issue here that we're discussing right now, which is PCR 15721. Peter, I do have a few questions. One of them is, you had mentioned about the $250,000 that we had voted on and approved for an OPEB fund. Has that money been set aside since that vote took place?
No, it's still listed as an appropriation in the city system. And once the OPEB trust is created, the treasurer will transfer the money to the trust.
Is where it's sitting, is it sitting in any type of an interest-bearing account or just a line item?
No, it's a line item the same way that the salt for snow removal is. And it hasn't snowed much, so there's plenty of salt money left. But it's just an appropriation in the, I've got my budget here, I think in the employee benefits category, and it hasn't been spent yet. But once the trust is created, it'll be transmitted to the trust.
Now, when this $250,000 that we've approved, the current one that you have in a line item, when that gets put into a trust, how is that going to impact our unfunded liability? How does that change the unfunded liability in a whole, or as a whole, I should say?
Well, just the financial statements, as you know, we haven't had an OPEB trust before. So our financial statements basically show what the liability that was accrued during the year, how much we spent on retiree health insurance, which is somewhere under a half, but maybe a third of the cost. So this will begin to be a credit against it. But the real reason, and I was talking about trying to get more comprehensive actuarial services on this, is, and we debated back in May, you and maybe Councilman Ricks, I can't remember who else, thought we should put more money into this. And the question is—
No, I didn't say that. Wait a minute, okay. Whoa. I did not suggest or say anything about putting more money into it. So don't put that on the record, please.
All right, I'm sorry.
Because I didn't say—
It was just me, and I'll take credit.
All right. Thank you, Councilman. What we don't know is what is the right amount to put in there to get somewhere to fund this thing over a long period of time. And that's why I'll be back next month talking about using our current pension actuary to help us get there.
I think what I'm getting at, and I'm perhaps not wording it or asking it correctly, is when we have this input of funds of $250,000.
Yeah.
How does that impact the financial picture of our indebtedness in terms of how does it change it? I mean, in other words, by putting $250,000 into this pension, does that on paper have an impact in the perception of what our actual unfunded liability is, how it's calculated?
Well, for the financial statements at the ending fiscal year 22, presuming we create this trust, presuming we transfer the $250,000, that would be a credit against that total liability. Now, the liability is growing by more than that every year. Based upon
our liability now is what, about 384 million or so?
According to the work done by the actuary, whose statement will be in our fiscal year 21 financial statements, yes.
So you say according to the actuary. Is this the same actuary that you just said may not be the actuary in the future?
Yes, I plan to come to you to ask you to make a change.
And when you say— When you say according to the actuary's numbers, it's $384 million, are you suggesting that there's a different number, or you disagree with that number?
The only thing that I have discussed with them is they didn't seem to realize that during the Avedisian administration, I think employees hired after 2015 no longer get family plan. And I don't think that that was part of their calculation. But our pension actuary doesn't think
it's— employees. I don't think that was all employees. Wasn't that just unclassified employees?
I think all the new contracts go to single plan.
I'm not certain about that.
I certainly have municipal employees. I know that's the case.
I think the change was with unclassified employees, because if you remember at a recent meeting, I tried to get legislation passed that would do that. And I was told you can't do that. So
if I may, I apologize. Councilman, I'm just— I apologize if we I do realize you guys are having a discussion on the benefits, but I'm going to request that we focus back on the PCR and discussion and the discussion of going to the trust. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, there might have been a brief segue on that, Chairman, but you know the basic root of these questions is about this OPEB trust. Peter, you also said when you first started discussing this evening about the OPEB trust and the $250,000 and then perhaps something different going forward. You said if we get somewhere with this,
yeah.
What happens if we realize we are not getting anywheres with this? What happens with the contributions that are made to the OPEB trust? Do they just sit there? And if we're not getting someplace with this, is that to suggest that this may be curtailed? Because what you said was, if we get somewhere with this,
the mayor and I've spent a fair amount of time talking about this. He would like to really tackle this problem. As you pointed out, the number is huge and you're not going to get there tomorrow. So I have every expectation that we'll have some kind of proposal through the budget. I can talk about this a little bit more under the executive communication during the council meeting. But I know from, for example, talking to some of my colleagues and other, and I was surprised that this is authorized, but the regulations on ARPA allow contributions from ARPA funds to OPEB trust. Don't allow any contributions to pension funds, but they do to OPEB trust. And there's some real opportunities, I think, because of our good investment returns and our pension funds to free up a little room here to try to do something on this. So I have every expectation that we'll have some kind of proposal that I hope the council will be comfortable with in the budget in May.
So Peter, you just brought up a good point about where this, how this grows, et cetera. So do you plan, assuming this passes, do you plan on providing the council as well as the taxpayers a forecast or projections as to where you anticipate this to go and what the impact is going to be on this $384 million unfunded liability that is growing at the rate of, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's growing at the rate of about 11 or 12 million a year.
Yeah, and that's really, absolutely. And that's why I want to switch to an actuary who's going to give us consulting service on how to get there, rather than the current actuary, who I think did a great job just reporting a number, but they weren't engaged. The city went out to bid, you took the lowest price and you got a good number, but they're not providing, they weren't providing any other services. And that's what so that I can say what the difference is, but what the kind of contributions over a period of years needs to be to get somewhere with this. I can't tell you that right now.
Okay. No, and I wouldn't expect you to be able to either. I just want to be able to sit here and believe that at some point in the relatively near future, we're going to see some forecasts and some projections as to how these monies or contributions to this OPEB plan, how it's going to impact our unfunded liability today and how it's going to impact us in 5, 10, 15, maybe 20 years out with reasonable assumptions. In this report from the trust, it says that it's going to be for retiree healthcare benefits only, which you explained that pretty clearly, such as medical, dental, vision, et cetera. So is it fair to say that someone, I would assume in finance department, in your department, that you actually have numbers for what the healthcare portions are, what the costs are of the healthcare portion, what the cost is of dental, what the cost is of prescription drugs. Do you have those numbers? Are those numbers available anywheres that will be able to show us what we actually do have in expenses regarding the healthcare costs?
Councilman, if I may, we're discussing the PCR before us.
Yeah, I am, Mr. Chairman. That's in the PCR. That's in our package. What I'm asking about is in our package. It's found on page 3 of the OPEB presentation. So it's in the package. That's what I'm discussing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So, Peter, again, the question is, are those numbers going to be, or are they available? I would assume that somebody who does the books knows how much we're paying for the healthcare costs of retirees, how much the dental costs are of the retirees and the active employees, which is just as important, how much those costs are.
Well, even in the, obviously in the budget, and let me just go to the page, breaks out the, makes it very clear how much of our cost is retirees and how much of the cost is active employees. I'm sure that dealing with them, I could get more, if I needed to, if there was any reason for it, I could get more detailed information, how much of it is pharmaceutical versus how much is a different component. But what you've been provided, on page 52 of the budget, it breaks it out, how much is dental retirees, how much is healthcare. It does not, I don't have the information on, and if within the healthcare, how much is pharmaceutical and how much is other services. I don't have that.
Yeah, but I'm sure that someone has that number. Obviously, if we're paying a bill of $24-26 million a year for healthcare, I'm sure that somewhere in the finance department there are numbers available to give us those breakdowns. I mean, I know that in my own company, workers' comp, I have a breakdown for every single category that I have. So I know where my money's going, and I have an opportunity to challenge those numbers if I so desire. But you know what? I can reach out to you later on that, Peter. The other questions I have right now is, in the actual resolution, on page 2, line 8, it says, be it further resolved that the Warwick City Council hereby adopts the public agency's post-retirement healthcare plan effective December 20th, 2021. What is that public agency's post-retirement healthcare plan? Is that this document that we have from the trust, or is that a different document altogether, or documents?
I mean, by reference, I believe it's the language that's incorporated in this resolution.
But I don't see any documents in this or attached to this resolution that speaks to the quote, public agency's post-retirement healthcare plan. What is that?
Well, that's defined early.
Sorry?
There's a pretty clear definition of it earlier in the resolution. That's what I would say.
earlier in this resolution?
Yes.
Could you point it out to me?
Yeah, well, it is the best interest of the city, et cetera, et cetera. Multi-employer, tax-exempt trust performing essential government within the meaning of Section 115 of the Internal Revenue Code as amended and the relative and statutory provisions of the state of Rhode Island. And it's that Section 115 that is the critical element that defines the nature of it.
Okay, but I'm asking about the public agencies. First of all, what public agencies is this referring to?
I would say it's referring to the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust, as which has been authorized to do this by doing a number of insurance products by the General Assembly.
So is that for certain, that this public agency is the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust? Is that for certain?
Yes, absolutely. And as I said, okay. as is documented here, there's 26 different municipalities participating in this plan right now.
Yeah, that's okay. The only plan I'm interested in right now is the one we're considering to participate in. And that post-retirement healthcare plan trust, where would I be able to get that document that identifies to me what this public agency, what their post-retirement healthcare plan trust is? Where could I get a copy of that document? Because it's not here.
Well, obviously from the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust.
Okay, so I'll have to reach out to them. Okay.
And I'm happy to get whatever documentation and share it with you.
That'd be great.
I felt this was satisfactory and their documentation. You seem to believe there's a reference to something more substantive, and I can certainly find that out. Well,
Peter, I like to have as much information as I can when I'm considering something as large as this. And when I look at something that has a significant impact in the language, yeah, I like to look at it. It doesn't mean that I'm distrusting anything or making any speculation or any other kind. What I'm simply doing is no different to what I do in my own company. When something is presented to me to pay a bill on, I'm going to want to see everything that has anything to do with what I'm paying for. So that's the reason why. It's not distrusting anyone. On the second page, line 14, it says, city's participation in the trust, including but not limited to authorizing the investment of assets in the trust, providing directions to the trustee and or the trust administrator, and authorizing disbursements from the city's trust assets and the city shall, pursuant to Rhode Island General Law 45-5 and blah, blah, indemnify said plan administrator. So will the city, you, the finance director, finance department, us, the city council, will we be provided any reports, any financial reports to keep us surprised as to how this trust is performing, what it's doing, et cetera?
It'll be part and parcel of our annual consolidated financial report, just as you receive reports on the performance of each pension fund. This will be, and right now you receive a report on OPEB, but we're not making any contributions other than paying as you go.
Right.
So just as the financial reports for fiscal year 21 of the city, which are imminent to being released, will report on the performance of pension funds. Future reports will report on the performance of our OPEB trust funds.
Peter, do you plan or does the administration plan on having the city actuary come before the council to make a presentation?
Yes, and that's one of the things where I just talked to him yesterday, and we're going to try to come up with a date. He did not come last year, principally because of the pandemic.
Or the year before. I'm not sure.
I don't know the answer to that. But he's. We've talked about that, and you know, his pension report will probably be out the end of February. So sometime in March or April, I hope we'll get him here.
Okay, on line 23,
Councilman. Councilman, if I may interrupt for a minute.
I have one last question.
I was just going to ask the other council members that have a question, but if you have one last, please go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, it's more for an explanation. On line 24, it says execute the legal and administrative documents on behalf of the city and to take whatever additional actions are necessary to maintain the city's participation in the trust. What are these administrative documents? What are those documents that is being referred to here?
Well, the city plan administrator will be the city treasurer. You see that earlier. And so there needs to be accountability and compliance issue in the relationship between the city treasurer and the trust as to what kinds of things, what kind of signatory approval will have to go on before we make a transfer or there's a withdrawal. That's how I interpret that language. That the treasurer and the trust have to work out the details on their communication and activity and actions by the treasurer to instruct the
these investments, these transfers, you know, whatever is involved with the trust, these documents will they be authorized by just one person or will two people need to authorize them, or how's that going to work?
Well, it's set up as the city treasurer, and the city treasurer has been the fiduciary in the same way. For example, surprising the finance director, I'm the fiduciary for the police pension funds, and the treasurer is the fiduciary and does all this for the fire pension plans. And it's one person. It's the way it's set up.
Okay.
Municipal employees, there's the retirement board, so it's a little more complicated. But.
Right.
Councilman, I do realize you were asking the question. I just want to make sure that what I wanted to do was just hit the pause button on the questions, give the other members of the council an opportunity to ask a question, and I'll be happy to go back to you. Council. Thank you. Councilman President McAllister.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to thank Peter for bringing this to us. This is the first time that this city has ever taken on something like this. So I think that needs to be commended by this council and by this administration that we are addressing this issue. This is the first step, as Peter said. They're going to have multiple options going forward, multiple things coming to us, lots of times to discuss this. But I appreciate the work that he has done on this, reaching out to all those different municipalities. I appreciate all the questions that are being asked, and it's going to open up more and more questions as we move forward. But I don't want us to get lost, down the rabbit hole. But this is a good thing. This is unprecedented here in the city of Warwick. We are taking on and addressing an issue that has not been worked on. Certainly in the time that I've been on the council and I think most of us. So I just want to point this out, that this is the first of many steps that we are doing. Lots of conversations to be had coming forward. And I really appreciate when Peter comes with us and he gives us all this information and comes with us with different options. And it's going to be over multiple meetings and multiple times that we do this. So I just wanted to thank the director for this. And again, to highlight the council's forwardness on this. This is a big thing that this council is moving forward on. And I commend my colleagues on the council and the administration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. And before I, is there any other members of the council that have any questions from the conversation that has happened so far? Okay, Councilman Lattice, sir. Please continue with the question. Understand that we are discussing the PCR. Thank you.
No, I'm all set, Mr. Chairman. You know, I can direct my questions, you know, another time.
Thank you, Councilman. And thank you, Mr. Director. Is there any other questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, thank you so much. Solicitor Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the the committee and the council would so be inclined, there's a few technical and grammatical clarifications that would need to be amended in this document. They are on page 2, line 9, is an updating of the date. This item was originally drafted for us in December. We held it to this meeting, so we want to update the effective date of this from changing the December 20th, 2021 to January 19th, 2022. The second amendment is on page 2, line 16. There was a typo in the statutory reference. It should read Rhode Island General Law 45-15-16. Unfortunately, the one before the six is not there, so we need to add that. And a grammatical change is removing the ing from indemnifying so as to make it read indemnify. So those would be my suggested recommendations for the committee and the council this evening.
Okay, Chairman, if I may.
Yes, please, Councilman.
Could Councilman Lattiser pointed out one area of confusion that's also in line 9, that I think maybe I can see where he may have been confused. So if you see just prior to the date where it starts on line 8, public agencies post-retirement healthcare plan, earlier in the document, it refers, the name is slightly different. It says public agencies post-retirement healthcare plan trust. I think the trust part is missing in the second part there. And that may have led to that confusion about whether this was a healthcare plan or, you know, it's the trust. So I would just make that additional suggestion there.
Thank you, Councilman. That does make a difference.
Thank you, Councilman. I'm going to give the solicitor a moment to review.
I believe that is in order.
Thank you. So on the recommended to the committee, on the recommended changes that are now on record, are there any questions on the recommended amendments? None. On the council, are there any comments or questions on the recommended amendments as read on record by Solicitor Walsh? To the public, are there any questions on the read amendments now on record from Solicitor Walsh? Thank you. I will entertain a motion on the amendment.
Motion favorable action on the amendments.
I'll second the motion on the amendments.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. May I have a motion as amended?
I move favorable action as amended.
I'll second that.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor as amended? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director.
Thank you all. I'm just going to catch up on my notes real quick. Okay. Thank you all. Item number 3 is PCR 6-22, 2222-270A, formerly bid 2222-270A, original equipment manufacturer's parts for various vehicles. Christy. There she is. Hi, Christy.
Good evening.
You have the floor.
We received 4 bids for the original equipment parts for various vehicles, and we are requesting to award to Factory Motor Parts, Yan Wood Sanitary Equipment, and Lacal Equipment. The cap on this bid also goes along with the 3 other requests before you, the committee tonight. We have four requests that share the same bid cap. So the bid cap in total for everything is $782,100.